Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Scott Stedman Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Scott. And guys, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. So today, we're going to be doing something I haven't done for at least over a year, which is going to be a film for thought. Now, the topic or the theme today, the movie we're going to be discussing is Raya and the Last Dragon, or Raya, however you want to say that. So again, I'm going to be ruining some plot points. So if you have not seen it, I would just recommend that you don't listen to this podcast. Just kind of wait until you see it and then go ahead and play this episode. Or if you want to listen to it and have the movie spoiled to you and kind of look at some of the themes that I'm going to be pulling out, I think that's great too. So Raya and the Last Dragon is done by Disney Animation Studios, and it's set in a land called Kumandra. Now, Kumandra is a very prosperous land, and again, this prosperous land is happening 500 years prior to what the actual events we're seeing in the movie. However, there are these evil spirits called the Droon, and they begin to ravage everything. They start absorbing souls and turning people into stone. And in this land, there was a time where both humans and dragons coexisted together. So as both humans and dragons are turning into stone by the Droon, we see that the dragons of Kumandra use whatever magic they have left, and they created this orb to kind of ward off the Droon and restore everyone to life except for the dragons who were lost in this battle. Some of the dragons still turned into stone, but all the humanity has now been brought back to life. However, with the rune or this magical orb that defeated the Droon, you would think that humanity would be unified, that this would kind of bring people together, and ultimately it did not. It kind of divided humanity. So everything kind of got split up into five tribes, I believe. It's Fang, Heart, Tail, Spine, and Talion. And the Heart tribe was the one who acquired the orb, and they've been guarding it ever since. So that's really kind of the foundation of the movie. So about 500 years later, or kind of the time we're now seeing the events of this movie happen, the chief of the Heart tribe and his daughter Raya, open up their borders and allow all the other tribes to come. And this was kind of Chief Benga's way of trying to bring unity amongst the tribes. And King Benga wants to kind of have everyone settle their differences and kind of become Kumandra again. However, that doesn't work. Some things happen, and Namari, who is kind of the princess of the Fang tribe, ends up trying to take the orb. The orb gets smashed. It gets broken into five different pieces, and that ends up releasing the Droon, and the Droon starts making its way out and start trying to hurt everybody. So that's kind of where we start to see our action and our story kind of pick up. So here we see what's interesting about this movie is even though we kind of see Namari and the Fang tribe kind of being the individuals or the people that are going to be like your main antagonists, in reality, the main antagonist is humanity. And because it wasn't just, because again, it wasn't just the Fang tribe that wanted to take the Heart orb or the orb that was guarded by the Heart tribe, but every single tribe wanted that. And kind of the reason why is they noticed that with the Heart orb, Heart was kind of very prosperous. They had a lot of fruit and vegetables, where some of these other tribes weren't having that same type of luxury. So that's kind of where we see some of the conflict. And I think a lot of times we kind of see all that happen in the same way. We see that there are individuals who end up becoming jealous of other people, maybe other groups, maybe other nations that have certain things that we don't, and that's something that we want. So a lot of times we see envy and jealousy kind of become those big things that can kind of divide people. And that's definitely what we're seeing amongst these five tribes. So after all this stuff happens and the Druids running wild and turn people in the stone, we see Raya, 6 years later, try to find the pieces of the stone. But before that, there was a rumor that Namari gave that they said that Sisu, the one who kind of, that they believe kind of defeated the Druun and created this orb, that she didn't get absorbed into the orb, that she actually fell into the river and it just kind of floated all the way down to the river and got to, so that Sisu's still alive. So this is where the last dragon aspect comes in. So Raya is searching all the streams, trying to find Sisu, eventually does find Sisu. And then Sisu kind of gives more of that, how the orb was created from all the different magical powers from her brothers and sisters. And that anytime when Sisu touches a broken fragment of the orb, she ends up kind of gaining some of the powers of her brothers and sisters, and believes that if we can collect all the pieces of this rune that had been destroyed, that Sisu might be able to go and defeat the Druun again, if we can gather all the pieces. So now Raya is going to all these different tribes and trying to take a fragment of that stone to be able to help rid the Druun that is causing all the problems amongst all the tribes. Now, what's so interesting about this aspect is that through this journey, Raya goes to different tribes. She gets the stones. And one of the things that she is seeing is that every single person who she has an encounter with, or there's some type of conflict with within each of these tribes, there is some sort of hurt and pain. We see that with the releasing of the Druun, that people have lost their parents. People have lost their families. People have lost their kids. So you see that even though there's this tension for people to fight against each other or to keep hold of their fragment or their rune to kind of guard it and protect it, because again, anytime when the Druun comes, you can just shine that stone and the Druun doesn't want to get near it. So there is a way where this vital broken fragment of something can kind of help eliminate the darkness of the Druun. But as you're seeing each conflict, you're seeing that everyone has their own hurt and pain in the story. And this is kind of the next thought I want to kind of capitalize on, is that a lot of times we see hurt people. We see a lot of times people who have baggage, people who have pain, people who have gone through a great suffering, that a lot of times they are the same people who are cruel or mean or destructive towards other people. And I think that's something that that we see that is very vital to the story, because we see so many times, especially as a counselor and especially working with people and being in ministry, that sometimes the people, when they lash out at people, when they say unkind things, when they do things that may hurt another person's feeling or may physically or emotionally hurt somebody, if you talk to them and you can trace everything back down to the root of their heart, you know that there's some deep underlying pain that they're dealing with. And I think a lot of times we begin to see that, and Raya begins to start to understand that it wasn't just her tribe of heart that kind of, as she's carrying her own pain and baggage, as she's trying to fight and get these runes from all these other people, but there's other people within these tribes that have also lost much too. They've lost friends, they've lost family, they've lost their tribes true to Drune. So through great suffering and great loss, we're seeing that some of these characters that are kind of joining Raya on her mission to kind of help defeat the Drune, that pain and suffering becomes kind of a foundation to kind of help bring unity to all the tribes, to kind of bring back this idea of Kamundra back to everything. So they end up getting it. They finally get the Fang, and that's when things get tense. They get fighting. They start, you know, and eventually what they're finding out is that there's some events that end up happening. I don't want to spoil too much of the movie, but there's some events that end up happening, which you start to see that the orb is starting to lose its power. And we finally find all our characters from all the different tribes kind of surrounded by the Drune. Everybody at this point is probably turned to stone. And again, they're starting to get to the fight. Well, who are they going to trust? Because they have to put the stone together. So who are they going to trust to, you know, fight off the Drune? Which is kind of the same situation that Sisu, the last dragon, talked about her brothers and sisters. That when they were creating the orb, all of her brothers and sisters says, Sisu, you're the one who's going to vanquish the Drune. And they chose her. So obviously when you're thinking about who's going to put it together, but there's still distrust amongst them, especially when it comes to Namari, the princess of Fang, because she's kind of, you know, kind of within storytelling, I mean, she's kind of being prompted as like the main antagonist, even though every single person has an antagonist flaw within them. And we see Raya ends up saying, you know what? I trust Namari, and Raya ends up giving her stone to Namari, and she takes a step back, and she ends up getting absorbed by the Drune and ends up turning to stone. And you see each person begin to give their stone to Namari. So finally, it gets to the point where Namari has all the pieces, everyone else has turned to stone. She's the only person left. She puts everything together, puts it on the stone, and then she walks away from the stone to be united with all the characters that she was with Raya and everyone else from all the different tribes that survived that were kind of guardians of the stone, and turns to stone. So now at this point, everybody has turned to stone. The Drune has been vanquished, because I guess there's nobody left to turn to stone because everyone's dead at this point. But yet, we begin to see the orb start to strengthen again. And not only that, it starts to not only bring everybody back to life, but it also brought back all the dragons. At this point, 506 years ago, brought all of them back to life, who never came back to life after the first vanquishing of the Drune. And here we see that even though these five individuals had their concerns, but at the same time, they trusted that, hey, we have a common enemy, we have a common goal, and even though we're different, and even though we have our differences, even we had our issues in the past, I'm going to trust you because I believe that you're going to do the right thing. That's what's going to be best for all people and not just for yourself. And I like this kind of this final part because it really talks about trust and love, especially loving those who are different from your, especially loving those who are considered your enemies. And I think back to when we look at the Gospels and Jesus is talking about loving one another. And we see a lot of times Jesus not only tells us to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but he also talks about loving our neighbor. And when someone said, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, which tells us about this person who was considered least in society, considered an enemy of the Jews, someone that the Jews didn't like. And yet, this was the person that Jesus chose in this parable to kind of be the one to teach everyone, who is your neighbor? Jesus even tells us to love our enemies. So when we look at just from a theological perspective and from a Christian perspective, we see that loving one another breaks down barriers. Loving our enemies soften even the hardest hearts for people to be able to think outside of themselves, outside of their own jealousy, outside of their own envy, outside of their own wants and desires, and begin to think about, well, what's best for everyone? Or especially within theology, what's best for the kingdom of God? And one of the things that I think is so fascinating is when we get to the end of the movie, as each individual is going back home, and they're seeing that everything that they have lost has now been restored. Children are now back. Families are now back. Mothers and fathers and you know, it's all back. Tribesmen are back. Everyone's coming back to life. And all the dragons are coming back to life. And then there's a scene where Raya goes back to heart. And as she's going back, she sees her father, who's trying to put everything together, who really has no clue what happened. He goes, they have this wonderful moment, and then Raya turns around, and her father not only sees all the tribes coming towards Hart, but he's also seeing all these dragons that are back to life and flying around. And Raya basically says, "Father, welcome to Kamundra." And I think that powerful moment, we can really look at unity. And I think especially this is what Jesus was trying to teach us about establishing and building up the kingdom of God. Because we see that Jesus was telling us that the kingdom of God is near and that the kingdom of God is here. And when we look at the Lord's Prayer, we see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as Christians, one of the things the responsibilities we have is we are supposed to be building up God's kingdom here on earth so it reflects that of heaven. And depending on what your view of heaven, if you think of heaven as the destination we go when we die, or we take the Jewish view of heaven where it's more of about things happening not only here within my community, but it's reflecting everything that is happening all around the world, then when we're building a kingdom of God, a kingdom of kingly values, of kingly ethics, that we're seeing not only reflect what's happening here within my community, but it's reflecting a unity that is happening all around the world, then those are the things that we should work and strive for. Those are the things that we should be praying about. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit should give us guidance to move in those directions. And especially when we think about how we had Kamundra to it being broken down due to jealousy and fighting and envy that separate everything into five different tribes, to now we see that unity again. And now it's no longer Hart, Fang, Spine, Talion, and all these other tribes, but now they are back to being Kamundra again. So I think when I watch that movie, those are a lot of spiritual themes, a lot of psychological themes that I've pulled from that movie, just watching that with my son in the theater. So again, if you have not seen Raya and the Last Dragon, and you decide to listen to this entire thing, you know, hopefully, I mean, I did spoil some key plot points, but I try not to do much, but hopefully this can help you be a guide to kind of look at some of those themes when we're watching film. And again, that's kind of why I do these, film for thoughts, or especially theology and film when I do them, you know, within my church, is that, we kind of see that, hey, you know, anytime when there's storytelling, whether it's through song, whether it's through film, whether it's through television, whether it's through books, a lot of times we can pull out certain teachable moments that have spiritual connections to that we can use to kind of communicate gospel values and kingdom values. So guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. Again, thank you so much. I know I haven't been consistent with my podcast. There's just been a lot going on within my life, my family life, ever since everything shut down in 2020. So hopefully, oh, and there's Lizzie. She's waving bye-bye to everybody. But guys, thank you so much for listening. Again, like, share, subscribe. Make sure you give me a 5-star rating. You can find me on anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Just do a search for the Scott Stedman Podcast and you can find all my episodes. Or you can go to my YouTube page, Scott Stedman Ministries, and some of my older podcast that I had to remove and delete. Some of those old episodes are up on there. So especially if you want to listen to the very first episode of the Scott Stedman Podcast, you can find that on there. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you guys later.